Welcome to the program, friends. This is Kevin Swanson, host of the program. Now on sabbatical until late January, but first, this. Did you know political campaign contributions are up 555% since 1984 compared to a household median income increase of 128%? And that's Time Magazine last week. Total campaign contributions now are hitting $6 billion in this country. Candidates are getting more expensive. They go to the highest bidder. Not every candidate's for sale, but anytime 56% of the wealth is redistributed by government, you can bet that there will be a race for that money. The Democrats will collect their campaign contributions from the $2 trillion that supports welfare programs, Acorn and their ilk, the legal services of corporations, Planned Parenthood, other leftist pet causes. The Republicans, on the other hand, will collect their campaign contributions from the $2 trillion that favor banks, military complex companies, big ag, and big business. So where's the honesty here? They used to call these things bribes. Now they're just campaign contributions that sort of make their way around to the redistribution of the wealth. And that's what's happening when government's purpose turns out to be the redistribution of 60% of the wealth of a nation. Well, how do we solve this problem? You've got to give your kids good principles and plan on establishing a second Mayflower, a new movement towards righteousness and freedom, decentralized systems, massively decentralized, minimized governments in the next generation or two or three. Get a copy of my book, The Second Mayflower, and teach your children the principles of honest government now. This will come in handy 100 years from now. And for the 9-year-olds, I wrote a book called What Does the Bible Say About That? All available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generationswithvision.com.
America's covenant with death. That is the topic of this edition of Generations Radio. I'm Adam McManus, in for Kevin Swanson, who's on sabbatical through the end of this month. My guest is Reverend Rusty Lee Thomas of Operation Save America, author of a 300-page paperback entitled Abortion Violation, America's Premier National Security Issue, and the homeschool father of 13 children, ranging in age from 7 to 26. 4 of them are married, and 2 of his sons are serving God full-time in ministry. Reverend Thomas, you issued a fascinating essay on the anniversary, the 42nd anniversary of Roe v. Wade. In this essay, you talk about America's covenant with death, and it stems back to January 22nd, 1973, when Justice Harry Blackmun issued the majority opinion in both Roe v. Wade and Doe v. Bolton.
Both were a 7-2 decision, and both opinions were written by Blackmun.
What is the essential difference between Roe v. Wade and Doe v. Bolton?
These are companion cases. Under Roe v. Wade, the court said that a woman and her doctor, and not the government, was the authority to end the pregnancy within the first 3 months. So with Roe versus Wade, the only practice of abortion was committing abortion in the first trimester. But then right after Roe versus Wade, there was another case called Dole versus Bolton. And within this realm of the woman and the doctor, if the doctor who examined the patient, if there was any health exceptions like her emotional state, her familial state, or whatever the case may be, that it would be legal for a woman to abort her baby all the way up to the 9th month. So for all intents and purposes, Roe versus Wade combined with Doe versus Bolton, under any circumstances, it was legal for her to abort her child.
Even up until the very day of birth?
Absolutely.
You call this America's covenant with death. That is obviously very strong language. How do you draw that conclusion?
I've always known the scriptures. Isaiah 28:16-18. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tri-stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not act hastily. Also, I will make justice the measuring line and righteousness the plummet. So we know the first phase of this thing is the coming of the Messiah and the gospel of the kingdom. And that when the gospel was preached, justice would become the measuring line and righteousness the plummet. This is the first assault of the kingdom of heaven against this culture of death or this covenant of death. Verse 18 says, your covenant with death will be annulled, and your agreement with Sheol or hell will not stand when the overflowing scourge passes through. Then you will be trampled down by it.
You believe America, in keeping with Isaiah 28:18, has made its own covenant with death, and the only way we can annul that covenant is to turn to God.
Absolutely. But it really became alive to me in a very significant way. It was my son Elijah, my other son Micah. They're in a full-time drama ministry. And, you know, they minister at youth groups and stuff like this, Christian or otherwise. And he called me up and he said, Dad, I got to tell you, there is this ongoing serious issue that keeps emerging when we're ministering to young people. And I said, what is it, son? He said, they're depressed, they're cutting themselves, and they're always dealing with the thoughts, they're being hounded with the thoughts of committing suicide.
Mm.
And he said, Dad, what do you ascribe to this? And so I took him to Isaiah chapter 28, verses 16 to 18, and it's there, through the prophet Isaiah, God speaks about this covenant with death and this agreement with Sheol. And it's there that he offers his twofold plan to end this covenant and break this agreement with hell. And so I went through the scriptures with him, and I talked to him about the significance of the coming of the Messiah and the gospel of the kingdom. Because right before God acknowledges the covenant with death, he acknowledges the tri-stone, the precious cornerstone, the Messiah, and his gospel that was going to come. And when the gospel is proclaimed, justice and righteousness would become the standard. And this would be the first phase of breaking or annulling this covenant with death. Just like it was said in the founding of our nation when de Tocqueville wondered about the secret of the blessing of God upon America. I mean, he went to our halls of power, he went to our factories, he went to our agricultural centers and things of this nature, but he said it wasn't until he went into the churches and heard righteousness thundered from the pulpits, it was there and then he understood the significance of the blessing of God upon America. And he said, America is great because America is good. If America ever ceases to be good, she will cease to be great. And so what I'm encouraging is for the churches to once again thunder the gospel of the kingdom, thunder God's justice, thunder his righteousness, in the hopes that God himself, that God would come to our aid and begin to annul this covenant with death.
You write, America has committed domestic terrorism within the womb, and we are struggling against foreign terrorism without. Are you then connecting the dots, saying that since America has shed the blood of 55 million innocent baby boys and girls, that we are being judged and punished by God in terms of the terrorism threat that has been ongoing?
Absolutely. The book of Hosea tells us that bloodshed touches bloodshed. It's spiritual gravity. If we're going to commit domestic terrorism in the womb, we should not be surprised if we reap foreign terrorism without. I mean, we stand in horror, Adam, and rightly so, when we see ISIS and all these radical Islamic groups literally on camera decapitating the heads of innocent people. And we stand in horror of that. But what America is ignoring is the fact for 42 years abortionists with instruments of destruction have reached within the sanctity of the womb and has decapitated our precious children who are made in the image of God. And the Bible warns us, God is not mocked. What a man sows, that shall he also reap. And so we do have to connect the dots between the domestic terrorism in the womb and the threat of foreign terrorism from without.
That's a powerful scripture from Galatians 6:7, and you note that it is spiritual gravity that our nation cannot escape. We are talking with Reverend Rusty Lee Thomas of Operation Save America. Learn more at his website, operationsaveamerica.org. You can also pick up his 300-page paperback entitled Abortion Violation, America's Premier National Security Issue. Again, that's operationsaveamerica.org. When we return, some intriguing analysis from a man who warned from the period of history of the Nuremberg trials in Germany and what lessons we can glean from that today. I'm Adam McManus, in for Kevin Swanson here on Generations Radio, found at generationswithvision.com. Send me an email with your feedback, talkradioadam@gmail.com. talkradioadam@gmail.com.
The mark of a good father, according to Jesus in Matthew 7:11, is that he knows how to give good gifts to his children. He would not give his child a stone or a serpent. He would give him that which is nutritious and helpful. Now, Christian parents, if you're like me, you are constantly on the search for good gifts for your children. You're probably tired of cheap China junk and expensive toys that break within a month or two. That's why the Generation staff has spent the last 6 months scouring magazines, checking out samples, interviewing Christian parents, and identifying the very best books for our children. We look for creative presentation, substantive messages, biblical integrity, identifiable characters, and riveting stories. We have sponsored a child picture book contest called Nurturing Little Hearts, and we begin to publish the very best of children's books over the next year or two. But find good gifts for your children. That's a really good thing. We have an entire new section of children's book selections at our website for good gifts that you can get for your kids. Find it at generationswithvision.com. That's generationswithvision.com.
Welcome back to Generations Radio, found at generationswithvision.com. I'm Adam McManus, in for Kevin Swanson, who's on sabbatical through the end of this month. Learn more about me at my website, adammcmanus.net, MCMANUS.net. My guest is Reverend Rusty Lee Thomas, founder of Operation Save America, dating back to 1987. The website, operationsaveamerica.org. The author of Abortion Violation, America's Premier National Security Issue. He contends that America has made a covenant with death, and the only way it will be annulled is if we turn our back on our previous sin and repent of the abortions that we have committed, embrace sanctity of life once again, and turn to Jesus Christ, our Savior, as noted in Isaiah 28:18. Only then will our covenant with death be annulled. You quote from Dr. Leo Alexander from the days of the Nuremberg trials in Germany. Who was he?
Dr. Leo Alexander was a man who was very interested in the Holocaust in Germany. He went to the Nuremberg trials and he observed those trials. And what he did is he wrote a concise definition of Nazism. This is what he came up with. Nazism occurs when a government chooses death to solve its economic and moral problems. problems.
Wow. Wow. That'll preach. That's incredible. Right. Think about that. Think of the implications of that. This is not something that is reserved for Hitler long ago and far away. All of a sudden, it looks as though we've got blood on our hands, too, doesn't it?
We may have won the physical war in World War II, but Hitler won the ideological battle. The Jews, at the end of World War II, came up with a statement, never again, never again. And unfortunately for America, never again has happened again when we adopted this covenant with death. It's the same covenant that Germany made, and we know what it cost Germany. And now we start seeing the similarities starting to take place in the United States of America.
You point to Proverbs 8:36, which warns, "But he who sins against me," referencing God, "wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death." We have become a country, despite our founding and its bright light shining on the hill, that has ultimately loved death and has turned our back on God.
And you see it in the culture, brother. We look at the young of our nation, and we see the violence and the murder and the rampage, and we wonder, what in the world? It seems like there's no rhyme or reason to it. Just people freaking out, going into schools, going into movie theaters, going into churches, going to workplaces, murdering everybody in sight, and then turning the gun on themselves so there can be no justice established in the land. This is not by coincidence. This is a message. There is an injustice taking place. There is no recourse. There's no resolve to it. Why? Because we have this ongoing injustice of child sacrifice and the shedding of innocent blood. And as God warned, bloodshed does touch bloodshed. It's going to break out like a plague. Jeremiah 9:20. For death has come through our windows, has entered our palaces to kill off the children, in this case in the womb, no longer to be outside, and the young men no longer on the streets. This is what happens when a nation makes a covenant with death. It will begin to stalk the land.
So you make a connection then, biblically speaking, societally evidenced, between abortion and suicide, euthanasia, violence, murder, even the deadly sexually transmitted diseases, pestilence, war, terror, all of it.
I would just encourage people to study or run a reference on innocent blood and what are the consequences of a nation that's staggering under the weight of blood guiltiness. There will be an increase of violence and carnage and rampage. There will be an increase of tyranny in the land. You will be made subject to unjust laws, all kinds of incredible ill-affecting problems will arise when a nation makes a covenant with death and commits child sacrifice and the shedding of innocent blood. In fact, if you study Psalm 106, the Bible says that they shed the blood of their sons and daughters and they sacrifice them unto devils. This brings into the demonic realm. And the Bible says when you shed innocent blood, you pollute and defile the land. And the scriptures go on to say that this angered God to the point that he abhorred his own inheritance. What does the anger of God look like? Those that hate you will rule over you. We look at the Obama administration and we look at the Democratic Party. We see this incredible anti-American policies where he is literally demoralizing us from within. He's emboldening our enemies. He is hurting our relationship with our friends abroad. This is not a coincidence. Obama is God's man. He has been placed in office as the Lord's judgment upon us for murdering his children in the womb that are made in his image. This is how we must connect the dots biblically. biblically and scripturally to the reality that we are dealing with in the United States of America. The only way people like Obama and others who hate this nation, who want to see this nation reduced to a third world status, the only way this is going to change is when we repent as a nation and stop child sacrifice and the shedding of innocent blood. Otherwise, if we continue to murder the innocent, this is only going to increase and get worse. And as we see Islam on the march and its threats against America, believe me, God will continue to lift his hand and allow his enemies to strike this nation, and we will become subject to this beast, lest we repent.
Reverend Rusty Lee Thomas, my guest, director of Operation Save America, their website, operationsaveamerica.org, the author of Abortion Violation, America's Premier National Security Issue, here on Generations Radio. I'm Adam McManus. You point to Deuteronomy 30:19, which states an unassailable reality. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. What will it take, Reverend Thomas, for us to choose life? I mean, what does that look like? Is that a Supreme Court decision that overturns Roe v. Wade and Doe v. Bolton? Is that a pro-life law that will establish the protection of the child from the moment of conception? Is that the repentance of the church? Is that everything above and more? What is it?
God is a God of order, brother. The law and the government we have right now is a reflection of the heart of the American people. We deserve the leaders and the laws that we have right now. So it's not just the changing of the law, brother. It's the changing of the heart of Americans. There's only one institution that God has ordained to work through to touch and change the hearts and the lives of people, and that is the Church of Jesus Christ. So our strategy, brother, is to win this battle in the heavenlies and on the streets and in the culture of the United States of America, to call our American citizens to repentance and acknowledge the truth whereby they and our nation might be saved. And eventually, as the church repents and brings forth fruit meet for repentance, eventually the laws and the government of the land will reflect that victory.
Let's talk about, practically speaking, what it looks like to take to the streets. I know the heartbeat of your ministry, Operation Save America, is to take Christians and put them in front of an abortion mill where they will hold signs and pray and discourage the young women who are pregnant or think they might be pregnant from entering into the abortion mill where they might commit murder against their own children, urging that young woman to either keep the child or to place the child for adoption. What kinds of results have you had as a result of taking this very biblical, life-affirming message to the streets in front of abortion mills where you're standing on public right-of-way property?
It's been phenomenal, brother, especially when you consider the small minority of Christians who have answered the call to love their neighbor as themselves, to speak for those who cannot speak for themselves, and to rescue those unjustly sentenced to death. In other words, be your brother's keeper. Here is the reality, Adam. In 1991, that was the heyday of Operation Rescue, Summer of Mercy, Wichita, Kansas. There was close to 2,600 freestanding abortion mills in the United States of America. As we speak, there are less than 600. Now, we're talking over 2,000 death camps have been shut down in the United States of America, while Roe versus Wade is still the so-called law of the land. So what accounts for these victories? It has been simple, gentle Christians who are allowing the theology of the church house to become biography in the streets, living out their faith at the gates of hell, knowing the Lord's promise, they will not prevail against the Church of Jesus Christ. So what we do, brother, is call the church to reflect the same heart and desire that God has towards his defenseless children, and call them to stand in the gap, to make up the hedge, and to give God a reason to show mercy for a nation that is begging for his judgments. So what has happened as the church has gone to the gates of hell? Well, the death camps have been shut down. Babies have been saved.
Speak to it personally. Tell me when you have been in front of an abortion mill and a conversation you had with one particular woman and how she ultimately, through your intervention, through God's working in and through your obedience, she changed her mind, she chose life, and she told you that.
I was in Memphis, Tennessee. We went into the city and the abortion mills shut down while we were there. This was an African-American woman. She pulled in and out of that abortion mill 3 times, hoping that it was going to open. One of the brothers there began to engage her in a conversation, telling her that the place was closed because we're there, and began to minister. And then I showed up. I joined in the dialogue. Well, then a truck came behind her, and she had to move out of the parking lot, and she had to go out in the street, and I just begged her, would you please just turn around and come back so we can talk some more, because I wasn't convinced she had chosen life. And so she turned around and came back into the parking lot of the abortion mill, and I actually walked on the property. And the husband of the lady who owns the abortion mill came with his bicycle and said, are you with this group? And I said, I am with this woman. And miraculously, he left me alone to minister to this woman on the abortion mill property. Her name was Hannah. She had 2 children. She was in the midst of a nasty divorce with her husband, and the child in the womb is her husband's child. And so she's thinking, because of this divorce and because of the nastiness of the divorce, that I am going to abort this child. And, of course, her name was Hannah. And so I went through the scriptures about Hannah and her desire for children, her love for children. And I said, Hannah, God wants you to choose life. And if this is a boy, his name shall be called Samuel.
Wow.
And I am telling you, brother, the Holy Spirit hit this woman and she lit up like a Christmas tree. And so she repented of considering killing her baby. As far as we know, that child is alive, and if it's a boy, she's going to name him Samuel.
How wonderful. Reverend Thomas, would you speak directly to the Generations Radio listener? They're pro-life at heart. They're Christian. They want to obey the Lord, yet they've never taken the time to investigate whether there might be a pro-life group in their town that goes perhaps on a weekly basis, maybe on a Saturday morning when many of these abortion mills kill the most children between like 7 a.m. and 1 p.m., to consider standing in front of an abortion mill, praying, and learning about how to best dialogue with those young women entering the abortion mill. They want to do right. They want to be a part of the Christ-centered pro-life solution of helping to stem the tide of America's covenant with death. What would you say to them? I mean, they're understandably hesitant. This is no doubt something that would make anyone's heart beat a little faster as they're stepping out of their comfort zone. Speak to that person who wants to do right, how they can do it, how empowered they'll ultimately feel by doing it.
I would first say this to my brothers and sisters. I want to take some of the fear and trepidation out of your heart. It's no big mystery what we do out on the streets. We're just basically having church at the gates of hell. In other words, we're just employing all the things that we do in church, but we're actually engaging this enemy who has come to kill, steal, and destroy. We're engaging those who have been captured by the enemy to do the unspeakable to their own children, and, of course, those who are working in the clinic. What we simply do is we bring out the praise and worshipers, so those who are anointed in the area of worship, we encourage them to come out with their instruments and sing the high praises of God and worship God in spirit and truth. We employ the prayer warriors, those who are intercessors, and we just unleash them to bombard the heavens on the behalf of these helpless children. Then we have our preacher boys that are in training, and we say, all right, preacher boy, you preach to that wall, because if you could preach to that wall, you could preach to any congregation in the United States of America. And so we actually even train up our young preacher boys right on the streets where they get to share God's word to those that really need it most. You know, we talk about sin as the problem and Christ is the answer. Well, you know, we're talking about a place where sin has led them literally to the point of death. How important is the gospel witness there? It's very, very important. These people are desperate, and they're about to do something that's going to unleash hell in their lives and upon our nation. Then we have our sidewalk counselors. A lot of these sidewalk counselors, Adam, these are women who a lot of them are post-abortive. So when they minister to these moms going in there, when they minister, it's right from their heart. It's from their own experience. They're not ministering them out of a book. They're telling them, sweetheart, I've been there. I know what you're thinking. I know what you're going through. Come talk to me, honey. Come talk to me. And, you know, they sort of like act like a mama to these young ladies. Through that combination of praise and worship, prayer, proclamation of the gospel, and these precious sidewalk counselor, lo and behold, God intervenes. He saves lives. People get saved, literally, spiritually saved. They get born again, and we get them plugged into churches. God intervenes to take what they think is a curse and turns it into a great blessing. So it's no big mystery, Adam. It's applied Christianity in a nation that's killing their babies. That's all it is, because that's the question. What should the church look like? What does Christianity look like in a nation that's slaughtering their own children? And what Operation Save America has attempted to do is to answer that question biblically and then obey the commandment of the Lord. And great fruit has come from that obedience, brother.
Now, beyond the possibility that Generations Radio listeners could participate in these kinds of pro-life outreaches in front of abortion mills in their own town on a weekly basis, most typically on a Saturday morning, and you could probably Google pro-life in your city and find some websites where people are organizing in your very city. And if not, you can be the first to organize. But beyond that, Reverend Thomas, I know you lead tours across the country. What tours do you have coming up in case there's one in a city or state near where our listeners happen to reside?
Our big national event that we do every year, this year is going to be in Montgomery, Alabama, and the dates are July 11th through the 18th. Each year, we pick a city to go into, and we normally muster between 300 to 400 saints that come in, plus the local churches and Christians that become involved. During the day, we have street activities. We go to the death camps, or we may go out into the culture and do what we call truth tours, which we have the graphic signs along with the live baby signs. We use these visual aids to present the gospel of Jesus Christ. In other words, the wages of sin is death. And that's the picture of the aborted baby. And it's graphic and it's ugly, but this is what sin looks like. This is what sin does to an innocent child.
And having participated in such a truth tour myself, having held a graphic sign of an egregious abortion, for example, the poor baby that has been dismembered, destroyed, and killed in the process of abortion, people have a very visceral response as they're either walking by or driving by. They're shocked. They're horrified. Sometimes they get angry. But, you know, what is unfortunate is even the so-called conservative media, rarely have I ever heard a talk show host or a guest of a talk show host on a conservative program describe what an abortion is. And I've never seen on Fox News either still images of an abortion or pictures of a baby after the abortion itself. And so it is incumbent upon us, the body of Christ, to take the truth to the streets and to let people know what this word abortion is that is mentioned a 100 times a day, and people's eyes glaze over because they think they know what it means, but they have no clue of the hideousness of it. And when they are confronted, visually speaking, with the end result of abortion, they are shocked into recognizing the horror that it is.
It's so true, brother. You know, and as a wise man once said, a picture is worth more than 1,000 words. And this is what changed my heart about abortion, Adam. I was a pastor. I was a preacher of righteousness. I did not shy away from the burning issues of the day. I spoke out against sin in my life, my family, the church, the nation. But up to that point, abortion was just a word we debated. It was something we argued about. My life was shattered when I watched a videotape called The Massacre of Innocence, and it was the first time in my life I saw the pictures, brother, of these precious children just cut up and torn apart, brother, and it was so overwhelming. I had to turn the tape off. I ran into my bedroom. I fell on my face before God, and I'm not talking weeping, brother. I'm talking a wailing so intense that my chest hurt. I could not believe this nation that I had loved had sunk to this kind of depravity, that we would do this to our own children. And so, brother, that's what broke my heart. That's what opened my eyes to the reality of abortion. And this is one of the reasons why we're beginning to win the battle against abortion, because people are seeing it. And once you see it, brother, what argument, what debate can you bring? Even little children who see these pictures, I've had 4 or 5-year-olds come up to me and say, "Who hurt the baby? Who hurt the baby?" They know more than PhDs. They know 2 things. That's a baby, and that baby's been hurt by something. Well, what is that something? It's called abortion. We use this to present the gospel and disciple our nation with the graphic picture. This is what a nation looks like that disobeys God's commandment, "Thou shalt not murder." It's ugly, it's dark, it's death, it's despair. And then we have a picture of a live baby. Oh, look at the beauty of the live baby. This is the gift of life. This is the gospel. Jesus came that we might have life. And this is what a nation that looks like, that honors God and His commandments. There's blessing, there's health, there's soundness, there's wholeness. But unfortunately, because of this covenant of death, those things have been removed from our nation.
I'm looking at, on Amazon, the Massacre of Innocence DVD that people can order, and I would strongly encourage them to do just that. A DVD that had the same impact on me, that woke me up out of my slumber, is called The Hard Truth. And it's only about 8 or 12 minutes in length, and you could go on Amazon.com and no doubt find The Hard Truth as well. Educate yourself. You might think you know what abortion's all about, but until you see a video like The Massacre of Innocence or The Hard Truth, you really don't know. You are potentially slightly ignorant, and I think you will wake up and recognize the need to do something dramatic and on a regular basis, as Reverend Rusty Lee Thomas does through Operation Save America, when he takes to the streets and stands and prays at the very gates of hell, as he's described it, in front of these abortion mills, not only in his own town, but in towns all across this country. You can learn more about the Montgomery, Alabama event, July 11th through 18th, at the website OperationSaveAmerica.org, and you said there was something else coming up.
We have an ongoing campaign, Adam, called the States of Refuge campaign. Of course, that's based upon the Old Testament cities of refuge. We have 6 states in America that have 1 surgical abortion mill left in that state, defiling the land. So this represents the death industry at their weakest point. And then, of course, for the Church of Jesus Christ, the greatest potential for victory. And so what we've been doing for the last couple of years is employing our resources, our manpower, and our time investing in those 6 states, which are Arkansas, Mississippi, Missouri, North and South Dakota, and Wyoming. And what we're seeking, Adam, is the first surgical abortion-free state in the United States of America. We also have about five or six states that have two death camps. So what Operation Save America is going to be doing for the foreseeable future is concentrating our efforts in those states in the hopes that one state after another state would be set free from blood guiltiness that's defiling the land and invoking God's judgment upon us.
Well, if this particular generation's radio broadcast hasn't woken you up, there's no hope for you. Look at your toe. You might have a tag on it. My guest has been Reverend Rusty Lee Thomas. He is the director of Operation Save America. Their website, OperationSaveAmerica.org. While you visit it, check out and pick up his book, Abortion Violation, America's Premier National Security Issue. And put it on your calendar, the Montgomery, Alabama Outreach, July 11th through 18th. Learn more at his website, OperationSaveAmerica.org. I'm Adam McManus, inviting your emails at TalkRadioAdam@gmail.com. TalkRadioAdam@gmail.com. It has been my honor to have been asked by Kevin Swanson to be one of his three guest hosts as he's taken this three-month sabbatical. Thank you for listening to the broadcasts I've been a part of, and continue to support this wonderful ministry, GenerationsWithVision.com. 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 GenerationsWithVision.com.